spoken about. Large, he's, the Jews therefore were primarily the leaders, and it's just unfortunate that more pastors don't bring that out, that it wasn't as if the whole nation would have...
Well, very unfortunate. You're right, brother.
It's not as if the whole nation would like to have seen Jesus killed.
But no, they did. That's true. That's true. But there was no other way. What other people could he say? The Greeks? Well, they weren't involved. Yes, brother, right there.
I've also heard that John is the most anti-Semitic of the Gospels, but in John 4, it's clearly stated, and I think it's in the Gospel it's so clear, that salvation is of the Jews.
Yes, I know that. You see, when people are prejudiced, they're blind to facts, and build up a straw man. That's right, brother.
I think part of the thing on the use of the term Jews is the reason that the gospel is considered so anti-Semitic. The use of the term Jews in John, and the brother, I don't know his name in the front, you should distinguish between its use. It's used only of the Jewish people one time, and that's just referred to. Salvation is of the Jewish people. The other times that Judeos is used in the Gospel of John, it's used either to distinguish Judeans from Samaritans, that is, the Judeans oppose them. It's not used again of the whole Jewish people. Or it is used of Jewish religious authorities, where there are categorical castigations of Jesus. It's never used of the Jewish people en masse. The only time the word Judeos is used are two times, pardon me. One of them is that he is king of the Jews, and the other is salvation of the Jews.
Thank you, brother.
Outside of that, it's never used to mean the Jewish people
en masse. Good. Now, dear ones, did you get that? Did you get that? Good. Now, all right.
I was thinking, I was once reading an account about souls and needs, and I think the paper in Washington, D.C. said the Russians are persecuting souls and needs. Really,
what's that got to do with that?
I mean, it was really the communist leaders. It's the same like with the Jews.
Well, they weren't communists in those days, though. All right, brother, next.
You mentioned that subjectively there's no philosophical approach to the book of John.
I didn't say that. I said the objections and all the unbelief, I mean, isn't philosophical. But if you can find us one, all right.
Well, that's not my point. You mentioned in one of your comments, not about our people, but a personal opinion, that there's no philosophical approach to the book of John. My question is this. Or I'd like you to give a comment as far as the Judeo and Hellenistic approach as far as John is concerned to the areas of law, God, sin, and salvation.
Well, that would be quite a theological study for which I don't have time.
Let me put it down in a smaller essence. What do you feel is the Hellenistic influence in the book?
Well, the same as I would say the modern American influence on our Jews today. The Hellenists, of course, tried to appease the culture of their day, Hellenistic, and tried to reconcile the two, and in a sense in their day it was impossible. I mean, you'd have to give ground to a pagan philosophy. And the Hellenistic Jews were trying to ride two fences, or two, as they say among Jews. It is impossible, or difficult at least, for one body to dance on two weddings. And they were in that dilemma. And you will find that the real faith that God had given to his people resided not among the Hellenists, but generally, and let me disabuse your minds, while we're at it, they talk about the Pharisees. If it hadn't been for the Pharisees, we wouldn't have an Old Testament today. The Pharisees were the best Christians, the first Christians. I don't mean the type of Pharisees the Lord accused as hypocrites. They weren't all. Thank the Lord. Paul was a Pharisee, Nicodemus was, and others like them. And the Gospel of John simply wants to prove that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that God finally broke through and is to dwell among men. Man cannot reach up to God. God reached down to man to bring man up. And I don't know of any other way to treat the Gospel of John. Otherwise, it would take us into a tremendous labyrinth of academic definitions and whatnot. There was one brother in this corner that had his hand up first, but anyhow, since you're not there, all right, back there.
I was going to make a comment on the, what I came across kind of commonly is a double standard of mercy, for example. Now, talking to a lot of people about the Gospel of John, especially some of the Jewish people, they say that, well, how can we be condemned when we're doing, you know, good works and so forth? Doesn't God have mercy? Now, although, as you just talked about, I'm the only door to the kingdom of heaven, they reject that, and then they say, well, God has mercy on us. You know what I mean? But here's a double standard. They feel that they cannot be condemned because God has mercy.
My dear brother, they themselves, out of their own mouth, you judge them and they're condemned already. Was not the coming of Messiah the ultimate, fullest, completest result of God's mercy?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. What other mercy can he extend? All right. Well, unbelief always takes you in a way that you don't understand.